Between now and next month's general election, Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates who are running in contested races for congressional seats to join us for interviews on Central Time and on the morning show. You'll be able to find all of these interviews at WPR.org/politics. Now we'll talk to the candidates running for Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District that covers Madison and the surrounding region in south central Wisconsin. Democrat Mark Pocan is the incumbent in the race. We'll talk to him in just a bit. Facing him is Republican Peter Thiren. He's a math instructor at Madison College. Peter Thiren, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much, sir.
Let's dive right into some of the big issues in the race. Health care and the Affordable Care Act, a big Supreme Court case coming up after Election Day. If the Affordable Care Act were overturned in its entirety, what would you like to see to replace it at the federal level?
Let's first note that, yes, health care is a hard problem, but it's not as hard as bringing peace to the Middle East. We have a lot of experience in terms of allowing the private sector to make certain health care very, very affordable. The examples would be cosmetic surgery and LASIK eye surgery. LASIK eye surgery, for example, was roughly $1,000 per eye in the 1990s. It's now less than $500 per eye. So think about any other health procedure you know of whose price has been cut in half. So it certainly is something that the private sector has been able to contain costs and lower costs. But I would say that one thing, so it is a problem. It is a hard problem, but it is a solvable problem. I think that the one thing we need to recognize is that the government does not have all the answers. Obamacare, which was something that the Democrats put together by themselves, they did not want any input from Republicans. They passed it with no Republican votes. It was a partisan bill from the start. It was also arguably an unconstitutional bill from the start, which is part of the reason that they're worried now about adverse court cases. If they had worked in a bipartisan manner to produce a bill which was acceptable to both Republicans and Democrats, then they wouldn't be worried about this. I think both sides coming together on this, realizing that the government does not have all the answers and that the private sector has a lot bigger role to play, we can, in fact, move forward.
What kind of specific change, then, would you like to see that you think Republicans and Democrats could agree on?
We've seen movement in terms of the president's executive order on prescription drugs, where by executive order he was able to cut the costs to patients for insulin and other prescription drugs by essentially cutting out middlemen. I think that that's something that both Republicans and Democrats should be able to look at, okay, what's the legislative framework around that? Because obviously it is much better to do things legislatively rather than do things with a pen and phone.
Staying on a health-related issue, as we're hearing in the news, Wisconsin saw a record number of positive COVID-19 tests today and sadly a record number of deaths. How would you work to curb the spread of COVID in your district and around the country?
If I'm remembering right, the total number of cases which was reported was 155,000. But what I'm seeing on the Wisconsin Health Services website, Department of Health Services website, is that we've had only 1,508 deaths in Wisconsin. So if you do the math on that, that says that we have less than 1% of the cases resulting in death. That is not a fearsome disease. Remember that President Trump was diagnosed with COVID-19 on a Thursday, hospitalized the next day, cured by the following Sunday, discharged by Monday. And he's promised to make the drugs that he got available to all Americans. So Donald Trump is 74 years old. He is not a spring chicken by his own admission. He'd probably say he's a great summer chicken. But it's not a fearsome disease. It's nowhere near the bubonic plague in terms of its lethality. It is something that we can manage and get through.
President Trump has pretty good health care compared to what a lot of people have. But we're at, 215,000 deaths and counting in just 1 year? No, it's not the bubonic plague, but it's a pretty serious disease.
Well, okay, so you just said 215,000 deaths. That's in the United States.
Correct.
Okay. Let's remember that in the United States, the average weekly death toll is 51,000. So right now we're in, week 40? So if you take the total number of deaths in the U.S., the number of COVID deaths is, again, a very small percentage. And also note, as far as something being counted as a COVID death, we've seen that it's sometimes the case that even the person wasn't even tested. It was added because, well, there was COVID-19 in a family member, but that the particular person who died had never been tested, but it still ended up on the death certificate.
Because in that case, there would be clinical description of the disease. That was especially early
again,
in the pandemic.
People have looked at those death certificates, have seen that nationwide, only 10 to 15% of those death certificates list only COVID-19. Most of those death certificates list something else like heart disease, cancer, stroke. So other things that could very well have contributed or perhaps even killed that particular individual. I would also point out that one other problem we're having with the lockdowns is that again, the 51,000 deaths per week, each one of them is a tragedy. People are not being able to go to funerals. They're not getting the closure of a week. They're not being able to comfort each other. The claim that it's a super spreader event, we just had a huge rally in Los Angeles for the Los Angeles Lakers winning the basketball tournament. No criticism in the media for lack of social distancing and lack of masks. And yet in the news report that I just heard coming onto the show, it was specifically mentioned about a rally for Vice President Pence and the mention of social distancing and masks. So the media has been very inconsistent as to whether a peaceful protest or a political rally is a spreading event or is not a spreading event. So I think that the media has a lot to bear in terms of why people fear COVID-19, whereas they didn't fear H1N1, which Obama's chief of staff at the time admitted that they did everything wrong.
Talking to Peter Theron, running as a Republican in Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, part of our series of interviews with candidates turning away from health. What are your thoughts on rebuilding the economy in the year to come if you're elected to Congress?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to mention that I am the law and order candidate. It is very important to note, as we saw in the riots on State Street in Kenosha and Wauwatosa, that destruction is quick, easy, and exhilarating. But construction, which is the work of civilization, is slow, it is hard, and it is boring. But after you've upset the apple cart, where do you go eat lunch? So that boring work of construction is something that I think needs to be celebrated more often. That exhilaration of destruction needs to be not only criticized, it needs to be condemned. So I specifically asked my opponent to condemn the violence associated with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And he said, well, there are elements within that are causing this. Well, then the question is, who's funding those elements? Given the protest is often followed by riots, we had the riot kitchen from Seattle that was arrested in Kenosha. Who funded their cross-country trip? Who funded the gasoline that they were purchasing? Then in Louisville, we have a U-Haul, which parks on the protest route. the protesters knew to approach this U-Haul. They start pulling out protest signs and riot helmets, riot shields, and other riot paraphernalia. Again, who's funding, who's organizing? I think if, again, the violence needs to be condemned, and those organizing that violence need to be identified, and if they have broken laws, arrested and punished.
Just a minute or so left. Any thoughts on rebuilding the economy?
Again, the economy was going gangbusters in January. We suffered a lockdown hit. We are rebounding greatly. I think if we continue on our path of hope in terms of reducing regulation and encouraging people to build for the future with that alternative, that is the path forward that Donald Trump and that I would support going forward in Congress.
Peter Thurin, thanks again for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's Peter Thurin running in the November 3rd general election. He's running as a Republican to represent Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, which includes South Central Wisconsin. He faces Democratic incumbent Mark Pocan. He's a math instructor at Madison College, and we'll talk to the incumbent Mark Pocan next.